right. Yes. Come on, Bondi. Welcome to No BS with SB, man.
Hey.
Man, let's see. Romney Ramsey, man.
It's me. It's me.
You have to understand something, you know, because me, I'm French. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't actually. Thanks for letting me know.
I started comedy 7 years ago, okay? And I remember I went to... I tried to find the name. It was a shitty bar on St. Catherine. It was Renaud Lefort.
Okay.
And Annie Dufresne.
Okay.
And they do a comedy rock. So it was rock and roll music and comedy.
I kind of remember that.
And
yeah.
I was sitting in the crowd, okay? Yeah. I was watching because it was new for me to be in the wall of comedy,
right,
you know?
Right, right.
And you arrive on stage, man. Yeah. And I remember I said, wow, this guy is a pro.
Oh, thanks, man.
No, man, you don't remember? Cool.
Yeah, I
and after
remember,
the show,
I remember we talked a little bit. Yeah.
The joke about the bag.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to say your joke, but of course.
I remember, and I said, wow, I want to be like you.
Oh, shit.
You know what I mean?
Man.
Hey, didn't know you have an expo hat, man.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, you just win points. Imagine. But because it's true, man. You didn't start when I saw you.
No. I didn't.
You remember what time, what year you start?
So far? About shit.
It was 2012.
It was 2012. Yeah, I had already been doing it for like a good maybe 9 years by that time.
Okay. So you knew it.
I started when I was really young. I started when I was like in my early 20s. You know what
wow.
I mean? So
exactly. So. So many you have room at the time. I remember you have
Privateer, I think.
That was a funny one. After it came the Yuck Yucks.
It actually became a comedy club. You know what's funny about that? That room, I knew the girl who ran that room from high school. Her dad, corrupt fucking guy.
Shout out.
He won the lottery.
No.
And bought that bar for her, and then they ran it into the fucking ground. Yeah. That's why I got the room. She was like, hey, you want to do something here? I'm like, yeah, for free?
Why you didn't buy the place?
Because they're stupid. You win the lottery, doesn't mean you know anything about anything at all, right? It was fun times, man. It was a good room.
Why you think Yuck Yuck went there?
Yeah, right.
Because
it is the
concept. If you don't know what we talk, it's a little bit downstairs. It's like New York style, you know?
Right.
But you arrive in a bar,
mm-hmm.
but they have another bar behind. You know, and remember when you arrived here today?
Yeah, exactly.
You said here could be a secret show.
Yeah, secret showroom.
You can do the Bell Center in front of 20,000 people, but at the end, the most fun show is 100 people.
It's the real shows too, man. People are actually, they're not just waiting for punchlines. They're listening to every word you say, and everything you do matters.
Yeah.
Right? That's why it's the best, man.
This is why I think comedy will never die.
Yeah.
No matter how many Netflix exists, Comedy Central, you know what I mean?
Okay, so I've been thinking a lot. I've been like reading a lot of... I'm really into philosophy. Like I read a lot of philosophy, especially about consciousness and stuff. And I've been doing a lot more reading for a project I've been working on. And I've been thinking a lot about how consciousness and stand-up is very interesting. For one, I think that laughter proves that there's no free will. Okay, wait. Okay.
Laughter proves that
there's no free will. Okay, so think about it. Okay?
Okay.
When you're on stage, right, and you make these people laugh.
Yeah.
They don't think about it when it's a good joke, right? When it's a good joke, there's maybe a split second, boom, and then they're laughing. They didn't decide to laugh. It wasn't a choice.
It's rape.
Oh, yeah. Oh, total mind.
Yeah, but you're right.
Everything processes in the brain by itself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And good jokes are smart jokes, so that's a lot of calculations. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then, boom, it comes out of them. And a lot of times they'll laugh. Like, anybody laughs at a rape joke, especially women's, they didn't mean to. They did that despite themselves. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, it's so great what you said, because sometimes I saw a show, and I laugh, and this joke was not funny, but because I was already laughing before the other one.
There you go.
And you know what I mean? And and you're right. You're right. Like, is it adrenaline or endorphin of comedy?
I think it's a lot of stuff. Just whatever, there's the calculations in the brain that's happening, you know what I mean? That's because you solved like a problem, it kind of makes you go. But I also think, and this is why I think comedy will never die, which I think you're right, having one person on stage and then a bunch of people listening to that person, right? They're only talking. There's no music, there's barely any video, it's just a person talking.
Yeah.
And it's like everybody is, it's like the internet, everybody is connected
yes.
through that router of a person, and you're experiencing what it is to be that person, you know, through their eyes with everybody else. So you have this energy, this connection energy, and you're like the conduit, and everybody's feeling the emotions you're providing for them, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So, and it's, again, it's, it feels subconscious, so you're in their minds, and they're following your mind, and like you're all on this crazy journey together, and again, there's like, there's no internet, there's no pictures, it's just a, one mind in everybody else's mind and going along together. I mean, how could you beat that? It's simple,
yeah.
It's easy, and it's powerful.
It's simple,
in a sense. Yes, yes.
Because
yeah,
it's fucking tough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's tough to do, exactly. Which is why comedy is so hard, right?
Exactly.
You know what
exactly.
I mean? Just draw everybody in and then bring them along just through the mind. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, I know.
So it's powerful, man.
You give me so much juice about that because, no, because I want to go there, but I want to go this way with the same discussion, but about sometimes when I'm so stressed, because it's the crowd, you know, I said it's not a crowd, it's 100 different people.
Yeah, yeah.
In a crowd.
Exactly. Yeah.
And in general, 90% they never saw a comedy show.
Yeah.
And we are the best. If you compare yourself with the crowd,
right.
You're the king.
Exactly.
But we always put so much energy of a crowd who doesn't know comedy.
Yeah.
Why we do that? Why we are
self-doubt, man. Self-doubt.
Yeah, but self-doubt, it we never achieve the I'm not self-doubt anymore.
No.
And no matter how long you are in comedy.
Nope, yeah.
Eh? You know what I mean?
Yep, yep.
But it's very interesting what you said about a comedy will never die because it's the only art form who the government can take the control of.
I'm telling you, pure.
And stripper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Very similar.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they have a new, I heard, not a foundation, in Toronto, they want to show to the government that we exist.
A kind of like unionized government?
Yeah. But it's weird because why you want to do that? I understand. Yeah. To maybe stop to get robbed,
yeah.
Because we get robbed all
but
the time.
But then they can also get taxed. I mean,
exactly. I don't want to be a travailleur autonome.
Yeah, a contractor.
I don't want the
9 to 5.
I don't care if the government don't recognize me, man.
Yeah.
I don't recognize me.
Yeah, I don't recognize them.
Just recognize me on stage.
Exactly. Yeah. Spell my name right.
But you know, it's fun because when we start to talk about that, you jump in this.
Yeah.
Discussion, you know.
Yeah,
remember, you did rah.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why you are interesting about
just the fundamentals of the psychology and what makes people? Because there's more. Like there's more to it. Like consciousness plays like and whatever subconscious is plays such a big part. And we kind of, you know, we go up there and we try so hard. Especially when you're new, you know, the only thing you're doing is you're trying to make people laugh. You know.
Yeah.
But after a while, like you know, sometimes you're on stage and like you know, whether it's the crowd or maybe it's you, but you like. You take a step back from your mind, and then you kind of like watch yourself do comedy.
It's not me.
It's the worst feeling in the world. But the fact that you can even do that is fucking weird. You know what I mean? I've watched myself do sets. I do it less. I barely do it anymore. I'm very engaged with myself and my audiences now. But yeah, there's been times, you know.
I realize that no matter what they think, if you're funny or not, you don't care.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And it's not you don't care if they don't laugh, but you pay the price to say if you don't like me, this is me.
Yeah. Exactly.
I will not do the clown anymore.
Yeah.
But to do that takes years.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Because you pay the price. Like Dave Chappelle is a good example.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For a long time ago, he said, "This is me. I don't care about you."
Yeah.
But he paid the price because you know he was not like that before.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, "I remember Eddie Murphy movie."
Yeah, age though, right? Like, I mean, you start to think about things in a certain way. And you start to see the stage and you know other minds in a certain way, and it's like, I don't know, man. Like, I can't. No matter what else I'm doing in life, I cannot. Not do stand up. I need that. Like it balances out my moods. You know what I mean? That way of expressing myself. I need to pour these thoughts out on people. I need to connect.
Yeah.
With other minds in that way. You know what I mean?
It's like nicotine.
Oh yeah. Oh, way worse.
No, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
If you wait too long, you need that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it's for me now. It's the reverse. Before. If I have a show, I will stress all week to the show, and before and the between and after, mm-hmm. so, you know.
Right.
and I will wait because the adrenaline is so strong. Mm-hmm. Now it's the reverse. Now I need all the time that if I don't have it, it's mm-hmm. It's not. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But take me. It's why we because this is why I do a podcast, by the way. Because no matter what my guess is, it's never it's the same roots mm-hmm. like the noyau, the core, and
yeah.
but not the same. It's all the suffer.
Yeah,
to get this laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like you said, we never know. I think the best laugh it's when you don't know. You know
oh,
what?
Yeah.
When you arrive on stage and you start to do your stuff, and whoa, you're on the wave.
Yeah.
And you stay on the wave because sometimes you do a joke, the laugh.
Yeah.
And you say, okay. Right. It's you know, it's never like a symbiose together. You know.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Eh?
But that's
feeling.
Okay. And that's another thing. That's another thing that like I started realizing. Because you know. Throughout the day, and I get like, okay, whatever. There's tons of ways to look at like what a conscious is and whatever. But let's just say to make it easy, there's like subconscious, and then there's consciousness. So there's what we can control and what we're aware of, and what we don't, and we're like, you know, kind of robotic and stuff. And like during the day, whenever I'm in my life, like there's always like sometimes I'm conscious, sometimes I'm subconscious. I don't know. Like subconscious, I'll smoke this, and like you know, consciously.
You mean in,
like,
in life?
Just in regular life.
Yeah.
But when I'm on stage and I'm having a good set. There's no conscious, there's no subconscious, it's like boom, together, and I'm like fucking, there's like barely any thoughts in my head even, I'm just totally, the opposite of on autopilot, I'm totally present, you know what I mean, present in that moment, and like everything, and I mean like, there are good shows and there are bad shows, but I always find like now that I've been doing it for a while, that feeling of presence is usually what happens on stage now, you know what I mean?
And you have just, the answer why sometimes the situation arrives? It's just the timing?
I think it's experience, you know what I mean? I think it's experience and the actually wanting to, and then even recognizing that this is even happening, you know? Because that's like, you know, when you start becoming, a master at something, you start to realize, oh, look, there's these different states of mind that I can be in while doing this thing.
Yeah.
And like, I think that right now I'm thinking, oh man, maybe this is the ultimate, but there might be another five levels, you know what I mean, that I'm not even aware of, which is another reason why it's so addictive. It's like a video game, right?
Yeah.
Keep playing, it's the hardest thing. Yeah. When you reach that other level, man, you feel it, and you know.
Right? And you want back this uh-huh, the same feeling. Show, but it takes 20, 30 show before
you never know.
You arrive at the same,
exactly,
because you know when you kill, and you arrive, you go off stage, you said, I always said, what's happening?
Yeah.
I know I was there. It's the same joke.
Time changes, you know, things, everything's different. Yeah.
And I said, I want to be in this moment forever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sad because it's never like that. It's why I never take for granted my success or if I bomb.
Right.
I found the balance. Mm-hmm. Took me a long time to understand that, like you said, the level of if you want a success, you want to be a killer, you have to bomb, and bombing you have to understand, because sometimes people don't understand when I say bombing. Bombing is not like by purpose,
by expert.
I don't want to bomb, but it's okay, the way it is,
exactly,
because if you sometimes you when you take when you're a pro, you bomb less because you know already this joke is going to be funny. You just don't know how. It's going to be a killer, so you have to go on open mic. But sometimes, when you restart at zero, you need to go at open mic and bombing.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just
that's how you
to be funny.
Yeah.
It's not just the joke.
No, it's
the way you are comfortable on stage.
It's the person. Person first.
Yes.
Joke second.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
When did you know that?
Oh, 2 years, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Years. Well, you know, I started seeing guys, you know, like competitions. Like, I don't really do competitions. I'm just not really good at them. You know, but I would see guys, and it was a certain kind of a guy that would always win the competition.
A certain kind of a guy.
Yeah. And I was like, what is it about them, you know, that's different from everybody else, different from me? And I started realizing, it's like, yo, that person, they're just like, they got this funny thing about their person, you know what I mean? Like, you look at this guy, even if it wasn't a comic, you'd be like, yo, that guy's funny. You know what I mean? There's something funny about this guy.
Yes.
You're like Harrison Weinrib, you know Harrison?
Yeah.
Right? I look at that guy and
he's
like,
gonna come.
Oh man, I'm like, this guy, he didn't have to open his mouth. I'm like, this guy is a fuck this whole
Yeah, shout out to Harrison, but this guy is so shy in life.
I know, but I mean, his
never think about that. It's weird,
I know, but
he never think he's a comedian.
And some people, and I find that, like, and he's young and he can do it and he's
at
it, but you see, because he's aware of not just the jokes he can write, but his funny person, his funny, like, what makes him a funny person, that is what makes him better than all the other guys at his age because he knows the person.
Do you think he knows?
He's got to be. He walks on stage. He walks on stage and he goes. First thing he says is, "Look at the crowd." He goes, "Showtime," right? And it's the slowest thing. He's got to know.
Because
the only way you can do that joke is if you know.
You know,
right?
Yeah. If you take what is off. Mm-hmm. He's off.
Yeah. And he's aware of that. And which makes it funny, you know?
Exactly. It's, mm-hmm. it's his concept
mm-hmm.
to him.
Yep.
Like Stephen Wright.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But Stephen Wright, he was higher.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, Stephen Wright was higher energy mm-hmm. if you compare to him. And I saw other comic try to imitate him, mm-hmm. and you can't do that.
Nope. It's you can't not fake. You can't fake
no,
it.
No, it's him. It's him.
Smell it out. Exactly. Yeah.
So what's... If I have to ask you, man, what is your style on stage? Can you describe your style?
It's so hard for me because, like, right now, you know, like, I just recorded an album and, like, you know, and I'm editing it, you know what I mean? And, like,
audio album,
you know, wow. And I haven't in years because, like, I'm just not, I just like to go up there and talk my, you know what I mean? Whatever jokes I pick or whatever jokes I use, but, you know, as I'm getting older, I'm like, you know what? I need to fucking record something, sell it out, and, like, retire this shit and, like, move on, you know?
Yeah.
So I've been kind of listening. It's the first time I'm really listening to what I've been doing over the last, you know, a long time, you know what I mean? A bunch of, like, that's, like, years of jokes, like, you know, some of it's year 5, some of it's year 10, some of it's year 13. It's, like, a lot of my favorites I smashed together, you
know?
And I was kind of like, wow, you know, some of this is really good, but, like, I'm different now. I like, a lot of subjects interest me, and whereas a lot of those jokes, you know, a lot of them came out of nowhere. You know how jokes just, like, come to you and you're like, this is gonna work, right? Which is the best thing that could possibly happen. But some of them were just to get a laugh. Yeah. And, like, that doesn't make me happy anymore, just getting a laugh.
But are you tough with your joke or you give chance? If it's not...
So here's the thing.
Yeah, I give 3-time chance.
Oh, yeah. So, what I will do is, like, my development process, like, now I want to do more stuff that's, like, you know, closer and more serious to the, you know, things I'm passionate about, you know, like arguments, debates, whatever's happening in society right now. And, like, what I'll do is, like, I'll go weeks trying to develop, like, about 5 to 7 minutes, and I will give those jokes a chance. I will run them and run them and run them. And, like, if I find that, you know, if I believe a joke is funny, if I have absolute belief in joke, I will run it until it's funny. You know what I mean? But if something I came up with, you know what I mean? You know how it is.
Like, I know. It's funny. You know, because I worked so hard, I went to LA 6 months. I came back and I did not said, okay, I did. I realized my dream. I'm gonna take a break. No. I worked double. Okay,
right.
And in the 40 show a month.
Wow.
In Montreal, think about that.
Jeez.
Okay. Yeah. So think about it. And I started to do joke and I said, yes, it's funny, but I don't like this joke.
Yeah.
I said, why continue to do that? Because nobody called me and said, do you like the joke?
Yeah, right,
you know, because we are alone, eh? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I said, I don't care. It's funny if I don't like to do this joke anymore.
Yeah, right.
It's not me anymore.
Exactly.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it's the killer. Yeah, but you know,
you're lazy,
you know, go bomb and see, try out a joke, you know. So I want to talk about Rodney Ramsey. Why this guy, he needs so much attention. When did you realize you need...
Oh, dude, when I was like 10, 12.
Okay,
like,
let's go there. Okay,
yeah,
let's go there.
Like,
do you have brother or sister?
Yeah, I've got an older brother,
okay.
Younger sister.
Okay.
None of them are artists. Yeah, my brother's...
The parents...
my dad's a welder, you know what I mean?
What they want to... because sometimes they
my
want...
My dad wanted me to have a trade, you know what I mean?
A what?
A trade, like plumber, welder...
You
like
plumber? Wow.
Good to be here.
What
stinks?
Yeah.
So I was like, shit.
Yeah, but
With
your beautiful Rodney Ramsey plumber. And you could do that. It's going to be beautiful.
Oh, yeah. The fucking... The pipes look like a microphone.
Now, why plumber?
Oh, you know, but, you know, like... A trade, like welder, plumber, like fucking, you know,
manual,
exactly, working with your hands kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, since I was like really young, like my dad, he used to be a DJ, so like, you know, anytime he'd throw on the records, I was always dancing and stuff. And then like elementary school, like, you know, always in the school plays, I was the go-to guy, you know what I mean?
So your father is your hero at the time? He's a DJ.
Oh yeah, I mean, like, yeah, but I mean, the concept didn't even, you know, he was just a guy who had a record player and he played a lot of music.
No, but yeah, but you didn't know at the time.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't aware that this at was that a time, really cool thing. You know, when I got older, I was like, oh yeah, this is badass, right?
Yeah. Now it's more the your father in Back to the Future.
Yeah. Now, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Or just a guy with this. At the time.
Oh yeah, it was a big deal. Yeah.
Me and my father was take picture.
Okay. Oh, you're a photographer, yeah.
For a wedding, you know.
Oh, yeah, cool.
And for me, it was amazing.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
Wow, you took picture, you know, and now it's shitty job, man. Right, you know what I mean?
Right. Everybody's got a phone that can fucking do.
Yeah.
With that shit, right? Yeah.
So, but because it's your father, you know. Mm-hmm. Are you more? You want to impress more your mother or your father at the time?
Dude, like, that's the thing about me. Like, I didn't care. Like, that's why I was able to, like, you know, kind of.
So, what's your thing. Big? Your
it was, like, I'm a kind of person. Like, if something doesn't feel right, it's very hard for me to do it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like I remember there was, you know, having day jobs, man. I remember the last day job I had was actually in this building, right? It was actually TELUS.
No.
TELUS, yeah. And like, you know, I was living with my now wife, you know, and like, whatever, she was pregnant, and like, I was going to work full time, and then I was hitting stages like crazy, and I was the worst person to be around, just a piece of garbage, right? I fucking just go pissed off,
really?
You know? Oh, just, and then like as soon as she had the kid, she's like, listen, you gotta quit your fucking job because you are the worst human when you're, and I just like, you know, I will try, but I mean, happiness is, it is where it comes from, where from the out, I mean, I guess some of it comes from the outside to, and you create it inside and you give it back out to the world, and like that shit, man, like offices,
I know,
any kind of like, I just, yeah, it stifles, yeah. I have so much creativity in my mind, and all I want to do is put it out, you know,
and we're gonna talk about that, trust me, I know where I'm going to go, creativity, Ronnie Ramsey, no, I don't bullshit you, it's recorded, you know, so but let's go back, because I want to, so your father is DJ. So you don't have your father don't have your parents don't have like you have to be a doctor or
you know I mean my parents are from the Caribbean and like you know old school like parents from that time exactly. Everybody wants you to get a job make money but again their generation is different from ours because like the kind of stuff that was making money back making you enough money to buy a house then is not buying you a house now you know what I mean anyways but I did have an uncle who was a magician and I'd see him on TV
so
sometimes
okay but so it's him
yeah and I was like yo that's an option.
Can you do the same thing? Can you?
Yo, that's an option.
What is the name of your? Is it
The Great Tunka?
Shout out.
Shout out, Holmes. Shout out, Uncle Tunka.
Exactly.
Yeah. I caught him on it. It was weird because like I was just watching Rap City on like much music, you know?
Because when you watch TV and you are a fan of somebody, it's far. Mm. It's television. It's another world, you know? But it's your uncle in the television.
Yeah. Human beings. It's like when humans see that something could be done, all of a sudden they do whatever they can to achieve it. You know, when something doesn't exist, it's like, oh, this thing will never exist. And then somebody makes it, and they're like, and then somebody else comes along right after, and then does it, even though it hasn't been done ever before. You know what I mean?
It's just the way
the mind works.
So did you buy a kit of a magic?
No, I was just like, because at that point I was already like, you know. I liked singing, I liked dancing, you know what I mean? I'd done some stuff with school plays, you know?
Yeah.
And that was a moment where I was kind of like, oh man, this is something that people can make money at, you know what I mean? Someone I know.
How old are you when you realized that?
Like, I was like, maybe like 10, maybe like
11. At 10 years old, you knew you can be a comedian and make money?
Well, I mean, I knew I could be on TV, right? And I thought, you know, when you're that young, you think that's reserved for God.
Exactly,
right?
My point.
You
know, exactly. Like,
and then all of a sudden, someone you know, someone you've met, someone you love is like there, and you're like, okay, so that's something. And when I was 9, I'd seen Eddie Murphy's Delirious, and it was like, I was 9, you know what I mean? It had a huge effect on me, you know what I mean? Like, and I still didn't know I wanted to be a comic, but I had it memorized already, and I would like tell the jokes and like the friends and stuff.
I rewatched Delirious, because I have Gino Durant was here, and I rewatched Delirious, and you know what I realized? That his stuff, it was for a 9 years old kid.
Yeah.
You know, but you don't know the ice cream. Yeah, I have ice cream. You're on welfare.
Definitely doesn't age well. Yeah.
No, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Now when we rewatch, it's racist. But because it's not normal. Every. Our generation, where we are 9, 10, love Delirious of Eddie Murphy.
Yeah,
it's not normal.
No, not
but if you listen, he talked about
in the tub with his kids, all the shit.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Really, you're absolutely right.
The truck ice cream. Everybody didn't live that.
Everybody.
But everybody was poor.
It
was $5 for ice cream.
Right.
It was impossible to get that.
Yeah,
but the rich guy had the chance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it, So Delirious, it was a déclic too. Because at the same time, he's a black guy.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean?
Tu comprends?
It's like for you,
another reference.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, like, that was like humor to me after that, right? Like, funny. Like, then you can apply language to what funny is, right? And
yeah.
That becomes what funny is. You know what I mean? In your head, you have like that concept.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, very, very,
but,
very.
Because I want to say that in your past, did you feel racist when you're young?
Oh, fuck. Yeah. I mean, like, it's funny because, you know, you look back and like, I realize like,
because you're 84.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And, like, how racist people were, and you didn't even know it was racism, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
oh
yeah.
My God. Yeah. Yeah. You look back and you're like, holy shit. You didn't like me cause I was black. Oh yeah. Cause like it was a really poor neighborhood when I was growing up in
Montreal.
In Montreal, like in around like in Saint Laurent, there was like a little hood on Gold Street that we grew up in, and like, you know, it was a lot of ethnic people. You know, it's like fucking broke ass. So, you know, I got some white people, some ethnic people. Everybody's diverse, whatever. And then we moved when I was 9 to the West Island, you know, and we moved to like a middle class neighborhood. You know, had a house and shit, and like whatever, totally different. It was funny. When I first moved there, I used to have nightmares that a gang of white people would walk down the street and pull me out of the house and like fucking like do all kinds of crazy things. Yeah, I used to have nightmares of that shit. Then whatever nightmares ended. Then I went to school and like the school was different because, you know, like depending on your neighborhood, like the school will kind of reflect the income of the neighborhood. And like because of like whatever, my parents were like, you know, lower middle class kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But because of with the house that we lived in, I was in a district in a richer neighborhood, so I went to a school that was doing things that were like ahead of the school I was at, right? I mean, like, it was different income, these kids had more resources, and they were teaching things that were beyond what I had ever learned, right? And like, they knew I was coming from a different place, they knew I was coming from a different school, they knew I was coming from a different income, you know what I mean? But they chose not to help me and bring up the speed. All they saw was a dumb black kid who couldn't understand the work. So then, like, they held me back, and then from then...
Oh, make some noise! What did you order, Baldi?
Oh my God, something with cream in it.
Latte, merci.
Yeah, thank you.
This is the Peroni.
Oh my God. Yeah.
You like Peroni?
Yo, I love Peroni. It's the place to be.
And you make commercial, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I saw you in a red car driving with a white lady.
Yo, she came to a show last week and heckled me.
No, the lady in the car. Wow.
No, she's cool, though. She's just a little shocked. She's awesome. I love her.
So yeah. this is, you know what I mean? I always want to do a podcast because I'm French and I don't speak well in English. I was shy to start my podcast, you know. And I say, you know what? Be who you are. Be yourself. If they don't like me, then fuck off. Don't watch my podcast,
right,
you know.
Exactly.
And invite the people you respect and talk about what you understand and you know and you want to learn more about.
Right.
Because it's not because I interview you, I know everything.
Right.
It's because I need answer
context,
to
context. You want to fill in the things
exactly
you don't know,
because I'm alone.
Understand the person.
We are so alone.
Yeah.
And now we share something amazing together.
Yeah.
And why I say that? It's because the podcast. I don't remember. Coffee. It's because exactly. And if you never start, you will know the opportunity. You will not know the opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
Example. I start my podcast. I say, yes, but how I'm going to do my podcast, I study. After that, I say, yeah, but where I'm going to do my podcast? I walk here, and the owner saw me, and we start to talk, say, hey, why you don't do my the podcast here? You know what I mean?
Right.
So look where we are. It's
right.
Great.
Yeah,
and then the coffee arrived.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the best show in Montreal is here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
shout
the
out
Sid show.
Sid
mm-hmm.
and Ali.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're always here.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's fun. I love to jump in something new. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know.
Yo, I was thinking, man. Like, you should do sometimes you should do the show special after that show takes place. You know, with an audience, with a live audience. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's more exigent.
Cool. Yeah,
more organization.
Right. Oh, yeah, right.
It's
right.
Already complicated to book you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
Now you have a kid.
Oh yeah.
Two
kids. Yeah. To another one coming. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Oh, it's cool though, man. I'm at a point in my life right now, like at this exact moment, like, it's okay. Like, any other point in my life, I would have been like, oh, fuck. But, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, we're so going to talk about that today, because I was there when you get your first kid.
Right.
Language police. Oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah,
2013,
yeah.
Your first kid, remember?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
So, but the coffee arrived, remember where we were?
Oh, we're talking about my school life when I was young.
Exactly,
the
racist. And now because you upgrade the school, how did you respond?
Oh, I mean, you respond. You think you are what people tell you, especially older people, right? So, like, yeah, they thought I was dumb and they thought I was a troublemaker. So I was like, all right. I'm a dumb troublemaker now.
I was a troublemaker.
Yeah.
Are you?
Oh my God, yeah. Yes. But that was also the label that was put on me. So I was like, all right, cool. You know what
Oh.
You know, one of the problems with education is like they don't try, like they spend so much, there's so much competition. It's all about who can get the best grades. It's not about teaching, bringing people up to speed and teaching them, you know what I mean? Like stuff that my parents came from a different societal system and culture that is here, right? So my parents really couldn't be expected to know exactly what the system involved here. Like they'd held me back in my third grade, but at the first time I was at a school, they're like, this guy's dumb, let's hold him back. Well, my parents, like, for example, didn't know they had the option to be like, no, don't hold him back, you know what I mean? Push him forward and we're gonna get him like tutors and stuff, you know what I mean? But it wasn't even a concept in their mind because they didn't know, you know what I mean? And you have this place with these people in this system whose job it should be to like get you up to speed, teach you what you might be missing, and like show you all those holes that you're missing in the system. You know what I mean?
Yeah, to help you to after the school, how you're gonna survive in this
it's
world?
It's fucking school.
They don't care. They give you mathematics, geography.
My daughter, we got her in a private school, and all the things that I didn't get, I'm watching her get, and it's like blowing my mind. I'm like, wow. If every child in the world was like somebody cared about them for their education, you know what I mean? Even if their parents didn't care and they went somewhere and they had a bunch of people who cared about them, like this would, like the next generation, all problem, 90% of the problem solved. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
It's like, it's crazy, man.
No, I know. No,
that's a societal problem. Like I can't even blame this one school. That is like a thing that's...
My first year in the college, I blew up. I don't know how to say that. I was not good.
Yeah.
Because I was in the degree of school was 101. It's the bully. It was a, you know, a nerd.
Yeah.
And at 108.
Right.
108 is a moron.
Yeah.
I was the moron.
Yeah.
And I didn't pass my first year. I always say that.
You got held back. Yeah. You have to repeat. Yeah.
So you know what they did? They did not the year after to do again my first degree. They put me at the nerds.
What happened?
I finished my college.
Of course, there you go. Yeah.
But if they keep me there with the other moron, I will quit.
Environment, man. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But now I'm with the nerds. Every time I try to do joke, nobody cares. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna study that.
Exactly.
You know, but it's true. This is what's happened.
Yep.
So I was just lucky, you know. So 10 years old, delirious. When did you realize I would like to try comedy?
Yo, man. So, like, you know, I continued with school up until, like, CGEP.
Nothing, no improv theater?
Oh, no, I mean, like, the only kind of stuff I'd done was with school. You know what I mean? It was the only thing that kept me interested in school. Was when I got to high school, we started doing drama class, which was, like, you know what I mean? Like, for me, it was, again, almost like comedy, where it was like, oh, wow, a place where I can, like, you know, do stuff that's creative. And then I started doing school plays, and then, like, you know, then whatever, and then you get too cool for that kind of stuff. And then, you know, after high school, I took some time off school because I didn't think I liked it, and then, like, I was bored working, you know what I mean? So then I went to CGEP. And
what was the job?
Oh, God, Wendy's.
Hey, oh, dude. Wendy's was Burger King.
Oh, dude. Oh, man. You know when I quit Wendy's? There was one day, right? I was like I think I was 19 or something, maybe 20. And then I was taking the garbage out, and it was a windy day, right? And
Windy,
like the wind was just...
Oh, wind.
Yeah. And I was taking the garbage, and then, like, I'd been working...
So it was a windy day. At Windy.
Yeah, at Wendy's. Yeah, windy day at Wendy's, right? So I'm taking the garbage in the back, right? And it was, like, a high garbage. I had to open this big thing and then throw it up. And it was already full. I threw up the garbage, and then it hit the fucking side, and the wind blew all the drinks of the garbage onto me. And then I went inside, all garbage. And then, like, I was looking out the window of my break with all this garbage. And then I looked at the moon, and then a single tear.
Oh,
I was like, can't do this, man.
We cry so many times, man.
Oh, man, dude. Oh, man, dude.
First day at Burger King, okay? I didn't know they have a policy, you know, like the six McNuggets. Mm-hmm. Was not good anymore. After 5 minutes, you have to throw the in it, okay? I took a bite because it's gonna be in the garbage. The manager yelled from everybody like I was a shit. Oh, what do you do? I said, I'm hungry, you can't do that, man. He insulted me like I was. You know what I did? I took a new garbage. Mm-hmm. He had the garbage and he have a garbage. Yeah. And I took all the poutine, you know, when it was time to remove in the bag, throw the bag like that, and bring that at home, man.
Good.
And eat that, and I took 30 pounds.
Prove a point.
But fuck you, man, you know what I mean? Listen, why I can eat the food you're gonna throw in the garbage anyway?
Disgusting.
And she said, oh, it's for the inventory. Inventory of what, man?
Yeah.
And why you insult me? It's already a shitty job.
Right.
I have to pay to eat there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I am poor. Yep. I work here. And I live in a one bedroom with the dream. How many times did you cry, if you're honest, in your life?
Oh, man.
Achieve this goal to be a comedian?
Oh, dude, a lot. I mean, a lot. I can't even remember how many, man. Just like just the tears welling up in your eyes, you know what I mean?
I didn't cry at the time, but when I cry and I work in a supermarket, the night.
Oh, God.
So 12 to 8 a.m., okay? And I remember I put a bag of flour. And a bag get out and it explodes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's flour on it's a tab on that. But at the same time the situation happened, I was rewatching where I am in life.
Yeah.
And I was nowhere.
Yeah.
Because I want to be a comedian, but it's 4 a.m.
Right.
I'm alone with shitty music who pass all the time,
same
you know.
Music all the time.
Ah, in French, too. you know what I mean? It's not Bon Jovi, le tabarnak, okay? And I start to cry, okay? Right. You may cry like, you know what? You can cry in life.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's not me who cry.
Yeah,
for sure. It's my body or it's my. Said, if you don't understand.
Yeah.
Where you are and why you don't belong here. And the guy who I work with, he arrived and said, no, don't cry, man. It's all right. I'm going to...
I
said, no, it's not about that. It's about what? This is about my life. What's happened? I said, I suck. J'ai raté ma vie. I always say that. J'ai raté ma vie.
Regret your life kind of thing.
Raté, it's like I failed.
Okay, yeah, you failed in
life. I failed in life. Yeah. I said, why you say that? I said, look where I work.
Yeah.
At work, it's 4 a.m., $10 a night, I don't have life.
Meanwhile, he's like, hey,
and the guy started to cry too, man, because it was his real job. Me, it's just because I don't have to fight. So we cried together. And we take a break, and we ate a bologna sandwich in the shitty cafeteria, you know?
So
and I said, I have to do something, you know?
Yeah, that's so funny.
This is funny, man, because... The Wendy situation you talk it could be amazing in a movie.
Oh yeah, same with you. That's hilarious.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because
it's real.
Everybody lived
that. Yeah.
Everybody, because the problem is you know you're funny, you know you're gonna be there, but because the time is not there for you, so you have to do this shitty job before to achieve where you are.
Yeah.
And I think it's you're funny because of. That.
Oh yeah, man, this is the pain.
Because you still remember, when you do a comedy show, do you still say, I am grateful to be there, you know, because you remember the Wendy's, what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And now you have kids too?
Yeah, I'm super grateful. Like, I mean, you know, there's any other place in the world, I mean, other than like North America and, you know, a few Western places.
We live
places.
In Canada, oh, my about God, that, man.
This is amazing. I mean,
you know,
I can do it.
Best country in the world, you know, Montreal.
Yeah, I know. Eh? I know, man. I'm very grateful.
We don't realize it until we travel. Until you travel, say, oh my God, I was there. I was at the great place and I didn't know.
Exactly. I go to, you know, I do a lot of traveling. You know, I've been to a lot of countries, a lot of places in Europe and stuff. And I'm like, you know, even if a place is like really amazing, I'm like, yeah, Montreal is still up there. Like Montreal compares completely. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like everywhere I've gone. Yeah.
I shit on Montreal a lot because for the last 5 years they start to do the construction at the same time. Yeah, yeah. So what the incompetent people, but so when these 20 years old?
Yeah, exactly.
So what's happened after the win?
Well, yeah, I was like about 18 maybe. And then, okay. Yeah, after that, like, I quit, you know what I mean? Then I got my shit together a bit, and then I started going to Dawson.
Okay.
And then...
You did not do comedy, though,
at 20? No. But okay. I was like, you know, I was at a point in my life where I was looking for something, you know what I mean? Okay, I got to do something on myself. This is not what's going to keep my mind occupied, you know? So then I went to school, and I did social science, and then I went to communications to learn about film. You know what I mean? Which I thought was super interesting, you know? It was the first time someone had asked me to write a script or actually go out and film something and, like, showed me, like, what the basics were of editing, which, till this day, I'm very grateful for. And then, a girlfriend at the time, she was going to John Abbott, and she was like, yo, we have a comic that comes here every month. Why don't you come check it out? I've never seen live comedy before. I was very interested in stand-up, but I've never seen live comedy. And she's like, why don't you come check out the show? I was like, yeah, cool. So I went to John Abbott with my girl, and I watched Tim Rabnett.
Shout out to Tim Rabnett.
Tim Rabnett was on stage and like whatever. And I watched. I was like, yo, I could definitely do this. Later though, I realized that John Abbott is like one of the hardest crowds.
Oh man, I do that every year for my ego. Yeah, and yeah. To remember where I'm from.
Uh-huh.
Because sometimes we forgot where we're from. We think we are magical, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, and shout out to Simon who
booked. Oh yeah, Simon Ruffley and Will.
Yeah, who booked the John Abbott. It's I did 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Two people.
Yeah.
Two girls texting in her phone, don't care about me. I said, why are you? And I said, hey, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
Yeah, right.
You know, because I was there,
mm-hmm.
sitting.
Yeah, right.
And watching exactly. Like you did.
Yeah, exactly.
And said, maybe it's going to be me. Yeah. And now I'm there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not fun to play with empty chair, you know.
Right. Oh, man.
45 minutes,
yeah,
good luck.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
In 45 minutes, no laugh.
Yeah.
It's 1 hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, time is completely it's a lot. Different.
So you're there. You said, I can do that.
Yeah, yeah. And then,
did you talk to him after the show?
I did started going to shows around the city then. Okay. And I was just fucking just heckling guys. You know what I mean?
Let's go there. You heckling
guys? Yeah, I didn't know anything, right? So I'd go to these shows.
Where did you go heckling?
Well, like, I remember first I went to the Comedy Nest, which used to be, it wasn't in the Forum. It was like on St. Catherine, right across the street from where the Sports Expert was. You know those little restaurants? There's like the sushi
Sport restaurant. Sport Expert? Is it with the new look?
Yeah, yeah, it's like there's Sport Expert. You know how like on Atwater there's...
SQDC?
Yeah, yeah, there's the... No. So Sports Expert, it's like, it's Atwater, St. Catherine. You know across, you know where the Comedy Nest is? If you go west on...
René Lévesque.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Atwater.
Yeah, and René Lévesque, Atwater, and then you go up, and then there's St. Catherine. Make a left, and it's like it was right there, like right on that side of the street. Birongo, you know the side of the street Birongo was on St. Catherine, going west, right? And on that side of the street, they were in a like a really shitty restaurant because I guess they had just lost because the Comedy Zone was in the hotel.
Paul Ronca. Shout out to Paul Ronca. I love you, Paul.
Yeah, they had just
you love Paul. Love you, Paul. It's amazing.
They had just lost it. 2003. Yeah. So, and then they
moved to this place.
Yeah, yeah.
In French.
Yeah, boom. There you go. So I was like, and then I went there and I fucking sat in the front and the guy spoke to me. So I was like, yeah, heckled him. You know what I mean? Then I went to the works.
So you were cocky because you knew you were better than him?
I was just an ass. I just wanted somebody to look at me and pay attention to me. You know what I mean? And like, I was kind of like figuring this thing out, seeing if I had enough balls to do it. And then, then I went to the works. And then, like, I remember seeing Mike Patterson and, like, recognizing him from commercials, seeing all the guys that I recognized from commercials and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I got to try this shit. So I started, and then I went to the works.
Let's go there.
Works. Yeah.
First time on stage, Comedy Works.
Yeah, it was the greatest feeling in the world, man.
Okay,
yeah.
So remember the year?
2002, 2003.
Okay, so you go there. Did you prepare some stuff?
Yeah, I prepared, like, got some stuff in my head, whatever, okay. And then I went on stage.
So you're there. Do you remember where you were in the lineup?
I think I was somewhere in the middle. I think they sandwiched me.
Great spot.
Yeah, perfect
spot. Who was hosting?
It was Matt Boylan.
Matt Borland.
Yeah.
Shout out to Matt Borland.
Yeah,
who now he fight for the flat earth.
Yeah,
I saw his video.
Fight the good fight, brother.
Fight body. Do you think the earth is flat?
Hell no.
But do you think it's around?
What? Do I think it's a sphere?
How you know that?
I think it's three-dimensional.
No, I know, but how you know that?
I trust scientists and
exactly,
science.
So yeah. You don't know.
Oh, I don't know for a fact, there's a lot of things I don't know for a fact.
And not exactly, because you know what? The problem with people who laugh about the people who think the earth is flat, they still don't prove
but
it's around.
Show me
a picture of a around picture.
I can show you a video of people who the flat earthers or whatever, they trying to disprove that the earth is a sphere and round, and then totally look like assholes because the science proved that the earth was not flat, that it was like, I've watched a lot of stuff like that. That definitively proves, you know what I mean?
So do you think astronaut went to the moon?
Yeah, definitely.
Really?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Okay, so you know what? This is a great discussion we could have in another podcast because I don't care if it's flat or around.
Yeah.
But don't laugh about people because they believe the different way than you when nobody can prove anything. You can't, because you don't forget, you pass 15 years in school telling you the earth is around
the
ball in each school.
Right.
I don't want to be
paranoid. Once me and my wife, we went to Hawaii last year.
Whoa, good for you.
It was just like a little thing. She was like at a conference down there. And like, I remember being in Hawaii, right?
Did you think about Wendy's?
This is the first time I thought about Wendy's in years. Yeah. I don't even see it when I drive on the highway. It's fucking total black spot, right? So we're in Hawaii, right? And it was like a 14-hour flight, and we're kind of on the island. I'm kind of looking around, and I'm like, you know what? They say we're in Hawaii, but we can be anywhere on the planet.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I believe that we're in Hawaii because that's what we paid for, and that's what we're told. But we don't have to be in Hawaii.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at some point, you gotta trust people.
But I remember you to be an open mind.
Oh yeah, fair. Yeah.
When you said I'm
oh yeah, no, I completely understand how people
change
because
you have kids.
No, I can understand how people can feel a certain way and think a certain way about certain things.
Yeah.
But I also believe that the only way to progress and evolve is to trust, because I don't believe truths are fixed. I don't believe truths are 100%. This might be a table now, but who knows what it'll be next week. The truth is, this is a table now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the truth is, right now, the flat is round, you know what I mean? Right now.
Right
who
now.
Knows what it will be,
and,
you know what I mean? Truths
yeah.
evolve, truths change, you know what I mean? But you have to accept, we all have to accept a truth in order to move on and create better truths, right?
But I think we don't want the truth. This is my point.
Hmm.
I think nobody knows where we're from.
Mm.
Nobody, the reason why we're here.
Yeah,
No, you know what I mean? No, and everybody live well with that.
Yeah.
We are not curious about where we are.
But there are people who are curious about where we are.
Yeah,
and they
are fools.
Yeah, but
we
like,
treat them like they are fools. Like Matthew Boylan.
Yeah, but some of them, but Matthew Boylan, he's so whether the earth is flat to me, I don't believe that is that consequential to my life in general. But Matt is a smart guy, so
I know.
He's like focused on something that kind of doesn't matter. Why not focus on something that does matter?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like,
you're right.
Maybe you're right.
You're right. But at the same time, if you can prove something, it's not about the flat earth to prove that.
It's about disproving
it's
everybody
about to
else.
Prove that the government lied to us.
Yeah.
If they lie to us, it's not around, it's flat.
Yeah.
Imagine what the rest of lie they hide from us.
I get that.
Trust me, in what kind of reality you live.
Mm.
You made a decision to say, I don't care about that.
Yeah, yeah.
I have kids.
And
I understand that too. But we live in the matrix.
Oh yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean?
100%. I believe reality is created with the mind and the consciousness. I don't believe in fixed anything.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's fun you say that because maybe I'm going to do BS with SB.
Yeah, it's awesome. That's
bullshit.
Yeah,
let's talk about the 11th September, the flat earth,
That's
you know?
That's
but
great.
Okay, so it's 2003, 2004, you said? So the comedy zone exists.
Comedy nest kind of exists. And
where is the nest?
The nest, it's on St. Catherine West near Bureau Ongro right there. And the works is where the works used to be.
And it's fun because you have so much experience. I didn't know, like, Jimbo start at the comedy works with...
It was the nest.
Ernie start the nest... at the works.
Yeah, and it took, and then
Jimbo, and they have a fight together.
Yeah, Jimbo took the works, and then he went to the zone, and then Paul took the zone, and then he opened up the comedy nest. Yeah,
wow.
Which is the only one still open, ironically. You know what I mean?
And it's why they start to ban people. Man.
Oh yeah.
Did you get banned in the past?
No, I was like, when it was all that shit was going on, I was like so new, and there was like no black comedians, young black comedians, because when I came in, there was like all the core guys like Mike Patterson, Dave Pride, Heidi Foss, Dan Guterman, who's like producer for Rick and Morty right now.
Wow.
Writing and producing Rick and Morty right now. There was Tim Rabnett, I think there was Mike. There was all these guys, Joey, like fucking all the guys who like made, like, were making like serious moves across the country and like all this shit. They were there, but there was no next generation coming up.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So then when I started, you know what I mean? And the first set I had was like really good. The second set I bombed completely. I invited everybody.
No, you go fast.
Okay.
Hey.
Okay, so the first set was
okay,
like,
so okay, cool. Comedy Works.
Yeah, Comedy
You're
Works.
You're done in the middle. Yeah. The host is Matt Boylan.
And like, I fucking rocked it. It was
okay.
Just like,
okay,
was,
so you yeah. went, so you started
first,
ball,
yeah, first set, ball. It was like, I'm the shit. You
so
know
so
I mean?
You arrived there,
yeah.
confident,
yeah.
arrogant, cocky.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and you didn't bomb.
Didn't bomb, no.
This is weird. You should.
Anyway,
so you kill.
Yeah.
But and how did you feel on stage with the mic? And
oh yeah, it was like I mean, it felt completely. I felt completely at home. It was.
You see the red light?
Oh yeah, yeah. Everything was good, man. It worked. Everything, like, you know.
So you get out of the stage. What did you do?
I was like, dude. I was like, oh my god, I found my life's calling. Yes. Like, this is what I've been looking for.
So you call Wendy? Fuck you.
Yeah, I don't even know Wendy.
No, I know.
But I called school and I was like,
okay,
fuck you.
Wow.
Then go back. I was like, yeah, I quit. Okay.
But did you drink?
Huh?
The night that you killed?
I don't know if I had
no remember.
To drink. Yeah, I was probably too broke. Like, I can't remember. Okay. The only thing I can remember is getting off that stage and feeling really good about myself and not feeling that way forever or maybe ever. Yeah.
So you, when is the next show after that?
The next show was, I think, 2 weeks after, and I invited everybody, like a lot of friends and family.
And the comedy works?
Yeah, and just bombed.
Wow.
So hard. I went with a new five. I like fucking went in there like, yeah. And I didn't know anything, right? They put me on like,
man, you're
first
so generous. Thank you so much, man.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is the honesty.
Oh, yeah.
This is why I want to show to the people, you know, no matter where you think you are, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a bomb.
It's like your emotions, right? Sometimes you'll have you'll be happy, and sometimes you will be depressed.
And
like,
and you bring people.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
A lot of people.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Bomb. So.
So let me tell me to people understand what it, you. How did you bomb?
Like, you know, I mean, like, it was just, you know, I wrote a whole bunch of like stupid sex jokes.
You did not do the same joke that
did
before.
Not. I didn't know you were supposed to do the same.
Okay, you didn't.
No one tells you anything, right?
No, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I went up there and I was like, okay, cool. Wrote a new five, about to kill it again. You know what I mean? Packed crowd and like just.
When did you know you bombed?
When a minute, 2 minutes in, when like nobody was laughing, then you get the sweats and you're like, oh fuck. You know what I mean? Like, and I didn't know what I was doing up there, so it was. Just a.
So did you do three or you did your five?
I did my five, man. I did my five, and then
so
I got off stage. Like, what was that?
Who was the host? Remember?
I can't.
Exactly.
All the rest of the night's a blur.
So what's happened when everybody don't want to touch you? You know?
Oh yeah, exactly. Like, honestly, like, all I remember of that night was fucking just dying. And then
you come back to school.
Huh?
I'm back.
No, but I tried to get on the next week and they would not put me on. And then I kept calling and calling and calling. It took me like a month to get back on that
stage. At the works?
Yeah, yeah. And then I went back. And
why you always focus on the work?
It was the fucking nicest place.
Okay.
It was just sweet. It just looked great.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I wanted to do it there. It just felt right.
Yeah.
It looked like the club in Seinfeld. You know what I mean? Felt like New York. You know?
Yeah.
So, and then like me and my boy Kwesi. Yeah, you know what I mean, Quincy Thomas. I think when you weren't around, he had moved to Vancouver.
Okay.
But we kind of like started. We kind of like, he was interested in comedy, And we went, I gave him the number, and then we both signed up, and then we went in together that night, like for the next time around, and then I went.
After you bombed?
After I bombed,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, like, but so you bombed, do you want to quit?
No, dude.
What did you realize?
Oh, I was like, you know what, man, I'm gonna stick to a certain amount of time, and I'm gonna really focus, pay a lot of attention on my writing. I was like, yeah. I knew I could perform, but it was obviously the things that were coming out of my mouth that I was a disconnect.
Did you have a comedian who helped you at the time?
No, nobody said,
don't worry, man.
No.
So you know the feeling, eh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, this is why I do a podcast, because it's important, you know?
Like, to be honest, like, I mean, comedy already, like, nobody wants you to be better than them, right? And they're not
only
gonna,
me.
Yeah.
Right, you always know, encourage you, huh? Like,
no, always,
true.
Always
encourage you, no matter.
Yeah, you're a great guy. But I mean, like, I mean, most comics, you know, they're not getting no advice or anything like that. So
yeah, nobody cared. Nobody never helped me at the time. And I said, someday I'm going to do the reverse, you know? Mm-hmm. Because
always.
It's not because you have a success, I'm shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it's your route. It's your your journey.
Yeah,
it's not mine.
Exactly.
But people say, yeah, but it's a competition. No. If I was on stage at the same time with you, I will say it's a competition.
But
I'm after or before.
Yeah, it's not.
So it's another world.
It's not.
Because you know when we start to talk about the podcast, you said the feeling about when you're on stage with the people, it's something happening.
Yeah.
Like, but when you're not there, people don't think about you there.
Right.
It's another guy.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to prove you deserve to be there. Yeah. But after that, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's your spot.
Yeah, it's an experience.
You know what I mean?
Experience and their experience with you. Yeah.
So you bomb. You say, okay, it's a job. I have to focus.
Yeah.
And you meet the guy.
Yeah. Me and my boy. We called up and then we got on the same night. You know what I mean? And he looks younger, so they carted him on the way, and it was so funny. And yeah, man, and we both killed. And then like the manager came up to us and like
Jimbo.
Yeah, Jimbo. He was like, "Yo," so like, you know,
he said, "Yo."
Yeah, no. Yeah. He was like,
"Hey, yo, man."
He's like, "Yeah, we don't." And the perks. Every Monday was packed, and it was mostly college kids, right? And he knew that he needed like newer, younger people to connect with these young people.
Yeah.
He was like, "Listen, man, call in. We're gonna give you guys spots." Like pretty much every Monday, he like wanted us to get better, like straight in. Yeah.
Wow.
And yeah, man. And then me and my boy, he wanted to be more. He was way more into acting at the time. I didn't give a shit. I just wanted to be fucking a comedian, you know. But he was good. Like Kwesi could write like immediately. Like we were both at this like same level immediately. You know?
Okay.
I was more of like an actor kind of a comic, and he was more of like the like you know. Traditional, like
standing
up, and like yeah, man. And every week, every Monday, man, we go. And even if we weren't on, and like you know, once you get the pass, you get the ticket to go watch shows for free. So every weekend, man, I was there watching shows. You know what I mean?
Like hustling.
I was fucking, I was just
grinding.
I was just
no matter if you don't have a show, you're there.
Oh, I was just taking everything in, you know.
Yes.
And like you know, then slowly, you know, guys see how serious you are, and plus you're the young guys in the scene. So we actually started getting a lot of like you know. Shows early because who else you know their group you know guys need to book somebody who will do it for like either no money or very little money you know so we're getting stuff and like slowly being getting in the rotation and then you know like after sometimes I'd go to a show to just watch and then a guy wouldn't show up or they had an extra 5 minutes and then they'd throw it up. One of my fondest memories is going up was being at a show. Man, there was a comic who just died recently. Fuck, I can't. I'm drawing a blank. He was really good friends with Joey and those guys. Fuck, man, this is gonna really piss me off, man. Such a DJ McCarthy.
Okay.
And I don't know if you ever worked with DJ. Anyways, he died a couple years back. But yeah, DJ was a guy like he was like a writer in movies and stuff at the time. I really looked up to him. And it was a night where I just went to go watch him. You know what I mean? And then like there was an empty spot. They're like, "You want to come up?" And this is like only like a year or two in. I'm like, "What weekend?" You know what I mean? It was like my first like up. You know, fucking just like power. Just you know what I mean?
Wow.
It's all I had, right? You know, I fucking just
wow.
And fucking great. You know what I mean? Good reception. Go to the back of the room. You know, smiling.
Yes.
And DJ came up. Fucking. Shook my hand. I was like,
wow,
yeah. Man. You know what I mean? I was like, okay, mission accomplished. Let's keep going.
I'm a part of the family.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, okay, I've been accepted. Kind of a thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
man. And that was kind of like, that was definitely the jumping off point.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, like, yeah, all in.
I think this is very important. The way your career changed after that.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Now you're the part of the family. You have the okay of the Jimbo.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And the respect of the other comic.
Yeah, yeah.
The respect come with the hard work, eh?
Exactly. Yeah.
So So now you're hustling all the time. Do you start to go somewhere else?
Yeah. Then we started going to the Zone and the Nest. You know, then the Nest got out of that little shitty spot, and then they were in the Forum.
Yeah.
But in a different room than it
up,
is now.
Very up.
Yeah. It was like, all the way up in this huge room. Then it was down, and then it became there after years. But at that time, it was like on the upstairs, whatever. And then, so we had three spots, and then all the satellites. So we got to like, yo, man, back then, like, we had a lot of, I mean, there's three clubs in like all these rooms.
I know, it's
it's like
amazing.
It's crazy how it's worse now.
And you make money?
Yeah, I was making a little bit of cash, man. Yeah. You know, so like.
So how long did you do that? 2003, 2004, 2005.
So, 2 years later, 3 years later, Joey Elias asks me and my boy Koisi to open for him all weekend. And it was like, whoa, we're only like maybe a year or two in.
We made it.
Yeah. But Jimbo, like, so he put us on the first show, and then Jimbo comes up to us after, and he's like, yeah, we can't have you on the whole weekend. And me and my boy are like, why? He's like, two black guys in a row? What would people think? And we were like, yo! Right? But what were we going to say? We were like, okay, whatever the fuck, you know? So we did this. It was actually before the show. So we did the show, killed, like murdered, right? And then like, we're like, okay, whatever. Thanks for the spot, Jimbo. And we're pissed, you know? We take the bus home. We're like, fuck this bus.
It's racist.
And then, some racist shit. And then everybody at the club, like fucking Joey, all the waitresses, Sheila was working there at the time.
Wow.
Sheila, like the sound girl, like, all the witches are like, you have got to fucking put these guys on the weekend because it is a terrible racist thing. And he calls us up. He's like, yeah, you guys can do the full weekend.
No way.
Like, then fucking it was first weekend. And like, now that was like, you know, first real pay.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like first so weekend
you,
pay.
So you start to middle?
Yeah. Well, started open. You know what I mean? Okay. And for then, you know, moved up. You know what I mean? You know the grind. Like, then it was like, yeah, okay. Real comic, like, you know, starting to feel like a real comedian type thing and really putting energy, like all my energy into it. Yeah.
So did you headline at the Comedy Works at the end?
Yeah. I eventually ended headline.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was nice. Yeah, that was a really good feeling. Yeah.
So do you have a day job at the time when you do that?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I only stopped having a day job maybe 2-3 years ago. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Before, like, you know, no, but there was periods where like I learned how to hack the system, so I would work for 9 months, have the jobs fire me, so that I can take EI and then just do stat. I did that like 5 or 6 or 7 times, dude. Like, I'd work a job for as soon as I hit 900 hours, I'd be like, just take a piss in like the lobby.
I don't think it doesn't work anymore.
It's too bad.
I think they have to fire you now.
I get fired. Oh, yeah, I quit.
Yeah, but fire you now. Not if you stole something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no. Incompetence. Yeah.
Like what? Can you remember?
Oh, fuck, okay. Like, yeah, I do a lot of phone jobs, you know what I mean? So I fuck up orders, you know what I mean?
Oh,
send somebody, like, what I mean? Like,
So 2003 to 2013, before I meet you, you hustling.
Oh yeah, man, hustling hard. Like I did, which was one of the biggest mistakes of my life. I did the homegrown competition when I was 3 years in.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Just for laughs.
Yeah, which was a huge mistake.
Why?
Because I wasn't ready. Like,
yeah, but it's not an opportunity.
Yeah, but I couldn't. That's the thing. I was given opportunities after that. There was no way for me to take advantage of. Like after my set, fucking like. I got a call from like our HBO had a special they wanted me on. There was something else that was going on. A lot of people approached me, and I didn't have management. I didn't have a tape.
What year is this?
This is 2005, 2006 maybe.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything. Like, I'm just some kid who fucking goes on stage, tells stupid jokes, and then gets off stage, right? And then no guidance. So like, I wasn't able to take advantage of any of that stuff.
But tell me that if you say no at the time, you will be banned. No, I mean,
I think about it like this. Like, if I had said no, like, it would have been better for me, because then if I had waited, because there's guys who've been doing it as long as me now who were getting a homegrown like 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
And they had the experience that I'm 10-12 years in.
Yeah, but maybe it's the pressure of what they present, because homegrown means homegrown.
Oh, of course. And like, there's no way there is no way I would have turned it down. There's no way I could have known this unless I was older. You know what I mean? Unless I met myself in the future and I told myself this, there's no way I could have known.
So this is one of your regrets in your career?
You know, it's not a really regret. It's more of a, you know, I wish I had counsel. I wish there was somebody.
There's so many things to learn in this business.
And nobody tells you shit.
Yeah. Nobody tells you how to do that. You have to learn by your mistake.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But So you did you win?
No. Mark Forward. You remember? You know Mark Forward?
Forward. No.
Yeah, he's like he's a pretty big. I mean, he's a pretty big name. This guy did. He was in a whole season of Fargo. You know, he's one of the top guys. Like Zoe and him were just last best friends, right?
Okay.
And I found out later, right, that they had been filming him like since he got off the plane. He had had like a whole like show. Like kind of around
behind the scene.
Yeah, it was kind
of
like
homegrown.
Yeah, yeah, kind of like following.
It's weird he win.
Yeah,
coincidence.
Really weird he won. But, yeah. So
how did you learn that at the time? No internet.
I didn't know. It was a couple. It was like a year or something later when the show came out.
Power was strong at the time.
Oh yeah.
In the industry, the monopole.
Oh yeah.
Not anymore.
And the venue, man. Remember when we used to be with Just for Laughs? Used to own venues, and it was like their cabaret venue, like right next to their fucking office, like right upstairs.
Oh yeah.
Beautiful venue. It was like one of the best shows I ever had, man. Like it was crazy, on fire.
So to 2003, you have homegrown in 2005. 2006?
Yeah, it was like 2000. Yeah, around 2006.
So,
I did homegrown.
So
yeah.
Is it motivation for you? Or
I mean, like totally. Like I mean, at that point, you know, you get the festival. So that point, I was getting hired a little more.
Okay.
But it's still Canada. You know what I mean? And like, but
so the opportunity was not there then. Now it's. I felt like you just turned around. In this era,
yeah,
you know what I mean. You middle, you're good, but opportunity. Why opportunities? I don't feel is there.
Like talking about now,
2003 to 2010, 2013.
Oh yeah, like no, I mean like yeah, the opportunities. I mean I didn't get booked for the festival again.
It's why I knew you. You know, because you start to do your own stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
You say, I'm tired to wait.
Yeah, man.
And 2003, you call me, you want to do a video about language policy, remember?
Yeah.
Big hit.
Yeah.
I'm going to put the link on the description below. So tell me where you are and when the idea arrived in your life, you know, to start to produce yourself.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, after a while, it was kind of like, because like I started getting into acting and like I had, I can't remember if I started filming before or after this, but I booked my first acting gig.
I think you did the small open mic on the street before that.
Oh yeah, I did some. I was doing. Yeah, I might have been into videos, but I had done an acting gig. It was like it was for a role. I played a crackhead in a TV show.
No,
it was like multiple episodes, and I was like, okay, cool. You know, I booked the pilot for that, and then they called me later. So after I booked the pilot, I was like, you know what? I like acting a lot. So then I started filming my own stuff.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, then I learned how to cut my own stuff, learned how to edit my own stuff.
Yeah, you're the first one who started to use YouTube at the time.
Oh yeah, man, I was really into
it. And you know, I think you're avant-gardist.
Yeah.
You know what is it in English?
It's like avant-garde. You kind of just beginning and then,
you saw.
Stuff. Yeah, started
before
stuff,
everybody because we're gonna go there. You remember?
I'm still.
You're too much avant-gardist.
Yeah.
You're too fast for the system.
Yeah.
So you're there. You do you do acting.
Yeah.
And so when you have the flash about language policy,
is it because
a cop arrest you? Something
It was just, dude, I mean, like, I remember it was the time where, like, all that stuff was happening.
Bill 101.
Yeah, Pasta Gate. And they kept saying, language, please.
Yeah.
And the name just sounded so good. You know what I mean?
Because for the people who don't know what we talk about, it's in 2013, a restaurant, the Buena Notte restaurant on Saint-Laurent, They gave him a ticket of $600 because he put pasta in the menu, and the war start.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody was pissed off. Like why are you pissed off Anglophone? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he realized a vision about that. About imagine if that start now and we do nothing.
Yeah.
What's gonna happen in the future?
Yeah.
And you invent
language police, like
me and Derek Seguin,
and it was like filmed like cops.
It's a classic.
Yeah,
you know
classic.
That.
People still watch it.
And you know what? I think you did not. You didn't know it was going to be a success.
No,
You
know what made it a success? It was the news.
Yeah.
The news picked it up.
Yeah, and the news picked it up in a bad way.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Because they interviewed me and they tried to tell me, like, I hate francophone.
They
tried to fight that.
The angle, you know, it's so
I was
fun.
Like, oh my God, it's comedy, man.
Yeah. Them putting it on television made...
We did two live together.
Dude, oh yeah, that was crazy. That was such a big news thing, you know?
yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So that was that's when I really fell in love with like just making my own videos. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like really.
But you're good.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
It was amazing.
Yeah, I enjoy it, man. Like, you know, so you know, and like now I'm kind of the mind like I just really like creating stuff. You know what I mean? Like
I passed my life, okay, to wait about somebody who believe in me, who said you're amazing, let's build something. You know what I mean? Because at the time in French, it was like that.
Right.
At the time, you don't start yourself. You have to wait about a manager, a producer. It was not impossible to think about do your own stuff. Yeah, and now because everybody gets screwed, and now because of the social media, we don't need anybody.
We don't need anybody.
You can do your own stuff.
Exactly.
And do your thing by yourself. And you start to do that before everybody else.
Yeah.
Because me, though, I know it's still not easy, but look at that, where the quality.
Yeah,
you have to rent a camera, find a cameraman, the light, you know what I mean?
Right.
It was another world at the time. It was not,
was
still for only Steven Spielberg, you know what I mean?
Right.
Nobody, it was not like open for everybody.
Right, 100%.
So you have to rent, you spend a lot of money to do
it.
How many, you did 10?
3 or 4, we did 5 or 6, I think.
No, me 4?
Yeah.
To that, you GC Sudette, Renault Lafond.
Yeah, we did a couple, and then the baby stopped. It wasn't that much, it wasn't that many. We did like maybe, 8? We only did like 2 or 3, we did like 2 or 3 after you, and that was about it. But dude, Sebastian, man, like I gotta go pick up my daughter soon.
Oh,
yeah. But
it's 1:10. What time?
Yeah, it's 2:12.
Okay,
but, yo, we can continue. We can continue this, so we can do another.
Oh yeah. Let's finish about the glass. Okay, you have glass 3D.
Yeah.
Remember
so,
that?
Yeah, man. So like,
you tried to do a live show.
I did film a live show, and then it's virtual reality. Like I'm really into VR, so I went and got a VR camera, and then I just started. I've like 4 hours of stand-up comedy filmed right now. I filmed a short film that like played in festivals the rest of the world and stuff. But it is a very new medium, and I've been on it for like last couple years.
I think it's gonna work in 3-4 years.
Oh yeah, it's dude. There's like,
but
there's,
it's
like,
gonna be there already.
There's like millions of people. There's like about 8-10 million people who have them now. Like it's still small.
We have to wait the government.
Yeah, but I've been really
like
working
the iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. But like I've been working on, like I know the ins and outs now. Like, and I'm finally starting to see where in the industry that I can use the technology like how they can buy it. So like only now after 2-3 years of doing it do I actually see where I can profit and who can profit from it, you know.
So what's next for you? What is your what goal do you achieve for the next year, 2020?
Dude, well, like acting is really starting to pick up, which is awesome. Like that's something that's a goal that I've been meaning to, like, you know, kind of knock out, kind of get more consistent. I've kind of another thing I've been working on, like I'm trying to get some series, more series going, like web series going, like more like language style kind of stuff. One camera.
Okay.
Like I've been like whatever, there's stuff there, but also like because right now, you know, we get older, and like I'm thinking to myself, okay, like I don't want to just be a good artist. I want to be like live like a very solid life, and like to me, in order to do that, I have to have a strong body and a strong mind, you know what I mean? So so what I do, like my mornings are very strict, like I go to the gym for like an hour, hour and a half, and then I go and I write, and I don't write stand-up. I've been writing like short stories. I eventually would love to write a book, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't know how, but just like stand-up,
and
I learn how, so every
day, just throw that in the universe now.
Yeah, exactly, you know what I mean? And like so I go and I write hard, like for an hour, 2 hours, and I learn how to write, and then it makes my mind sharp so that when I do write jokes, I'm way sharper. The words I have are bigger, you know, my mind is it's just there, you know what I mean? And so I'm kind of trying to work my muscles and then apply those muscles to like my art and like pumping out as much content as I can, because my new philosophy is less input, less like reading and watching stuff, and more output, more writing, more performing, more, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Giving what's in instead of taking, man. You know what I mean? I'm very
sad. You have to go. Tabarnak is so good. Okay, so you're gonna come back anyway.
Fucking 100%.
What do you think about the expo?
Fucking, what do you
think? The expo are back.
About,
you think
man.
The expo are back?
Of course they're coming back.
100%. You sure?
Oh man, yeah, they've been working.
You believe in the people behind that?
Oh yeah. It's gonna happen. 100%.
So you love baseball, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah, baseball.
Do you think the Montreal Canadiens is gonna make the playoff 2019-20?
I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I stopped watching when Subban left.
Yeah, me too. But so you don't care. But do you think?
I hope they do.
You don't care.
No, I don't care.
You don't watch hockey anymore.
I stopped completely.
Shout out to Subban.
Yo, PK,
we love you, PK Subban.
I wanna start watching hockey again, man.
Listen, thank you so much to come here.
Thanks for having me, brother.
You're a great human being. Okay,
yo,
I love you, man.
You give me a
great opportunity with Language Police. Push me. You know the guy TG who give you this?
Yeah.
You give me this at the time.
Thanks, man.
Merci, man.
Anytime, bro.
Rodney Ramsey, call me, and you want to do a video about Language Police? Thank you so much, man.
This is awesome.
Let's go bring your kids
my
and come back next time, buddy.